God is so good, amen. It is good to be here this morning and to worship with you, and we like to welcome all of our guests today. Our son from Iowa came, and they had actually left Thursday night to drive down, and they were planning on driving all night, but they ran into ice. So they pulled over and got halfway here and then finished that last leg Friday morning. And so they came and they were with us Friday and Saturday, and we had our little Christmas thing there at home. And they left last night because they saw on the news and on their phones the weather was going to be real bad. And so they left then last night and took off, or else they would have been with us to worship with us. It is such a special time to be with family and to be able to express your love for them. It was good to see our grandkids and to hug on their necks and play games. Nick and myself took Jonathan to town hall and spent a couple hours on the archery range. And Jonathan had never shot a bow before. And it was just a good time of being with family. I remember times when I was a kid and our family would go to the lake and we'd enjoy barbecuing at the lake. And I remember one night there was a dark, dark thunderstorm. And you know those thunderstorms that come in before the sun goes down and it's almost like the sun is gone. It is so dark and there's lightning and there's thunder. And I remember as a little boy that I looked out across the lake, and through the darkness of those clouds, I saw the moon shining in the very distant horizon, and the reflection was bouncing off of the lake. It was so beautiful. And my thought was, how can there be something so brilliant? How can there be something so beautiful, but yet we are overshadowed by all of the storms? I believe Isaiah lived in a time when all of the people on the earth walked in darkness. They were walking to serve themselves. They were walking to please themselves and to do unto themselves so that they could fulfill everything that they wanted and everything that they desired. And I believe as Isaiah and all the children of God were walking in darkness, that he could look through in the distant future and see that one bright spot. And I believe it was that moved him to pen these words that we're going to read today. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah, chapter 9. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. You have multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burdens and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this Christmas time that you've brought to our lives, that we can live and experience afresh the birth of your Son. And how, Father, each year you bring this to us, and it is so much nearer and more blessed each year as we go on, that we can see how you are working not only in our lives, but in the lives of our children and in the lives of our grandchildren. Father, we thank you for that. We pray today, Father, that you would overshadow us with your presence. And Father, that we might see how you are called Wonderful and how you are called our Counselor and the Prince of Peace. Father, we pray that you would give us insight into your word today. And we thank you and praise you for what you're about to do in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Isaiah and all the children of God were walking in darkness. They were living unto themselves. Many times we get that way when we lose our focus of what God is wanting in our individual lives. We get that way when we are too busy with the here and now rather than what God is doing in our lives and in our children's lives and in our grandkids' lives. It is so good. The grandkids from Troy were over, and when Nick came from Iowa with his two kids and two dogs, they have a Weimaraner, and she doesn't know how to act in public. And so the littlest granddaughter is afraid of dogs. And every time the dog would come around, why, she would scream and want to jump on someone's lap. So guess what? Papa's right here. And I told Kathy, I said, we need to get us a dog. I don't care what it takes. But we need to get us a dog. And so, you know, that just puts old Kinsley right here on my lap. And she would, when I would put her on my lap, she would lay back with her head on my shoulder and she'd take her left hand up and she'd look up at me like this. And she'd reach up and she'd touch me on the face. And she'd look at me and smile and she'd say, Papa. I go, yes, Kinsley. She said, I love you. Oh. I don't know how she can melt a heart like that, but she does. That's what family's all about. That's what family in the church is all about. That's what it's going to be like in heaven when we get there for that grand reunion. That's what it's going to be like when my kids get to sit on my father's lap and reach up and embrace his face. That's what it's going to be like when we all get together around the banquet table. Isaiah was living in a time of darkness, and the people were only looking at what could satisfy them, what can benefit them. And Isaiah saw in the distant future that one bright spot, and he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. The reason why, there we go, the reason why he is called Wonderful, I believe because of what he has done in the past. He has been with God before God created this world. His eternal existence. He was there before time began. And to think that he would leave his divine life to put on humanity, to show us the way, and then to become our sacrifice and the way that we would come to the Father. Oh, his name is Wonderful. Not only because of his eternal existence, but because of his incarnation as a baby. Why would he want to do that? He loved us so much that he knew that we would have no other way to come to God, that righteousness cannot come from sacrificing bulls and sheep, but that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, and God is so holy that he can't be in the presence of sin. So he incarnated himself and became man to be our example, our sacrifice, and our Savior. To be that crucifixion, that person that would hang there on the cross, to be beaten and battered and torn, to be spit upon, to be mocked, to have your garments ripped off and have the soldiers gamble at your feet. And he would say to them, as he looked up to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But the greatest wonder of all would be his resurrection. Oh, he told them that he would be there in the grave for 3 days. But they did not understand what he was talking about. That he would lay in that cold, dark, damp grave for 3 days. But God would not let his soul remain there in the grave. The Holy Spirit brought power into his life, and through that, Christ was resurrected. What a beautiful picture it is whenever we baptize. I baptize little kids, and I'll say, this really doesn't have anything to do with your salvation, but it shows that you're a part of the family. It identifies you as being one of us. So I'll ask them, what will happen if I put you under the water and I don't bring you back up? And they get these eyes like this, and they'll go, "I'll drown." I'll go, "That's right. You will drown. And you're trusting me to bring you back up, right?" And they'll go, "Yeah." I said, "That's the way we trust God to raise us when we die. Because the Bible tells us to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord." And they can picture that, and they can understand that. And that's why Jesus would tell his disciples, when all the kids were around and pestering and running and doing things they shouldn't do, he said, "Oh, don't worry about the kids. Don't have them go away. For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto all these kids." And the kids would come and sit on his lap and look up at him and embrace his face. His name shall be called Wonderful because of what he's done in the past, but more than that, for what he is doing in the present. I remember as a little kid, I would receive gifts, and our family had traditions that we would do, and my father would read the Christmas story a lot of times. And the neat thing about our Christmas last night, when it got time to open up gifts, every person, before they had to could open up the gift, they had to say one thing about why Christmas is special to them. And of course, it starts with the youngest. And Kinsley said that the greatest thing is the baby Jesus. It's like, "That's right." The next older would say, "Because Jesus was our sacrifice." And Isaac would say, "Because he's our Savior." And then our grandkids from Iowa came and they said, "No, it's because he died for me." Oh, what he does for us in the present. I used to wonder, "God, you spoke to Moses, you spoke to Noah, you spoke to those prophets. Why won't you speak to me?" And in the deafness of the silence, I would wonder, why, God, won't you speak to me? Don't you love me? We went to church every single Sunday. We sang the songs. I knew the stories. But I had not experienced God's love. And for some reason, it was absent in my life, and it frustrated me. And I tried to live my life to please Him, but I couldn't hear Him. I couldn't hear Him. Because I was trying to do everything myself. I was trying to be good. I was trying to do the right thing. And when that didn't work, I quit trying. I started running around with my brother's group. He was 18 months older than I am. And you know what they always have the youngest one do? The youngest one has to do all the dirty deeds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to be the one to go break the windows. I had to be the one to go set the town on fire. Literally. We set the town on fire. And they couldn't put it out. I quit trying to be good because God didn't talk to me. I started controlling everything in my life and became that person that controlled my destiny. I took control of every aspect of my life, and I didn't let anyone rule over me. It wasn't until things were out of my control that God drove me to a verse that many people don't use for salvation. But He drove me to Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. It just jumped off the page at me. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. That was it. That was the word that spoke to me, that let me know God is the one that's in control of my life. God isn't the one that is calling the shots. Oh, he is called wonderful because of what He does in the present. And then He started to speak to me and to speak my name and to call me to salvation. And I would come to Him and I would give my heart and my life to Jesus. And within a few years, I surrendered to preach. Scared me to death. There have been times of great sadness and sorrow. There have been times of dysfunction. But the things that Satan meant to hurt me with, God used to benefit me. God used to comfort me. And to say, this is the way you need to go. This is the direction you need to take. Oh, His name's called wonderful because of what He does in the present. But more than that, His name shall be called wonderful because of what He will do in the future. There is a day coming, and it's called the judgment day, where all those infidels, all those individuals that have not accepted Christ as their Savior, all of those individuals that are lost, they are going to be destroyed. And it's going to be so bad that they will cry out that the rocks fall on me, just end my life. But while they are crying out for the rocks to fall on them, the redeemed are rejoicing around the banquet table of heaven. And they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We know the song. We're singing praises to Almighty God. Ah, his name's called Wonderful because of what he has done in the past, what he's doing in the present, and what he will do in the future. Secondly, I believe he's going to be called Counselor. His name shall be called Counselor. I believe this is very unique. Why would Isaiah put that in that verse? I shake my head at it. God, there are no mistakes in your word. There are no accidents in your word. You have so ordained that these men write these particular words. Why? Why is it important that he is called Counselor? And then God told me, the world was ruined by a counselor. The world fell into sin under the counsel of Satan. Satan gave counsel to Eve, and through that ungodly counsel, the world fell into sin. It's only right that a counselor would bring us out of sin. Amen? Oh, he's a counselor with God. Before God created this world, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a holy conclave. And they had a meeting of minds. Now, it wasn't to determine how they were going to do things. They already had that figured out. It wasn't in order to decide who to punish or who not to punish, because that was already decided. No, what they wanted to do is to show us, the creation, how great and grand and wise they are. See, we really can't separate the Trinity from God. We can't separate God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit from God, because all three are God. And that's why there's always cooperation between them. That's why as the Spirit leads and the Spirit is leading us in a particular direction, it's never going to be contrary to God. Oh, he counsels with God and he counsels with us, leading us in the perfect way. Oh, but there are times in our lives that we don't want to take that step, because we lack faith. But he's counselor with God, and he's a counselor with us. Isaiah said, his name shall be. That word shall be, those words shall be, mean as long as the sun will give off its light, as long as the glory of God is revealed. That's what shall be means. That's the length of time. See, before God even created this world, there was a time before time began. And then there was time. And after time ends, there'll be a time of eternity after time ends. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and lastly, the Prince of Peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Shalom. Everybody knows that, right? That's not rocket science. You hear Jews say that as a greeting to one another. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom means to be safe, to be free, to be well, to be rested, to be happy, to be healthy, to be whole. That's what shalom means. But he's called the Prince of Peace. The word prince in the Greek is Shah. You've heard of the Shah of Iran, the Shah of this country, or the Shah of this country. That's S-H-A-H, Shah. Jesus is the Shah Shalom. Shah means author of, controller of, giver of, sustainer of. That's what Shah means. The Shah of Iran is the one that gives all money to the people, gives food to eat, gives houses for them to live in. The Shah is the one that controls everything. The Shah is the one that sustains everything. And here Isaiah says that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Shah Shalom. He is the author of all wellness, of all safety. He is the author of all happiness. He is the author of all that's healthy in our lives. He is the author of everything that makes us whole. When God created Adam, He made Adam in our own image. And then He took from Adam the rib and made he a woman. And together, the two become one flesh as God made them originally, so that they can together glorify God. We cannot be what God creates us to be apart from the Shah Shalom, apart from the one who controls our destiny, controls our happiness, controls our health, controls how we are made whole. He is the one that sustains it and holds it up. The things that I've experienced in my life, the sin, the slothfulness, Christ is the one that brings peace to our past. Because of the things we've done, many times there are scars on the outside, but there are deeper scars on the inside. And because of those things, there needs to be something or someone that heals that wound. There are people in my own family that are still wounded. Oh, they're saved, but they're wounded and struggling. Jesus is the only one that can bring peace to our past. That's why when Isaiah said, a child is born, that child is born for us. But more than that, a son is given to us. To think that Christ would pardon us through all the things that we have done, that He would pardon us for the sin that we have in our life. To pardon us as though the sin has never been committed. To think that He would leave His divine throne and disrobe His divinity and put on Himself humanity, and that He would love me that much, that He not only wants to guide me and be my example, but He's willing to die for me. And to think of that is beyond human comprehension. Isaiah, living in the midst of the darkness, saw the one bright light. And he knew that someday God is going to fix it all. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you today, Father, that we can celebrate this Christmas season afresh once again in our lives. We pray today, Father, that as this invitation is given, Father, that we might be able to turn our lives to you anew and refresh us. Father, that you, your Son, Christ, would be our Shah Shalom, that He would be the one that brings peace to our past. Father, we pray that you are exalted in our lives today. And we thank you now and praise you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.